Praise God. Well, we've been in a series for some time called Rooted and Grounded in Love. And I believe we're on the 12th part of that. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3 and look at our text. Ephesians 3:14. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, for this, everybody there? It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's the phrase that we focused on, that you would be rooted and grounded in what? In love. If you're rooted and grounded in something, what does that sound like? That sounds like a foundation. You know, if plants are rooted and grounded, that means that, you know, you take out the roots, you're done. Okay, how pretty the outside looks, after a while it's going to fade, because you kill the root, the plant's going to die. And we've said, and if you haven't been with us, I encourage you, go back and listen to the messages, because all these build on one another. We can't possibly go back and review everything. But we've talked about how God is love. God isn't, he doesn't just love, he is love. And the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says, in this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Love is paramount in the kingdom of God, and real love, not what the world calls love. Love has gotten so twisted. People say, I love this, I love that. And we use it differently, right? I mean, just not knock anything, but you know, you can say, I love steak, I love pizza, I love my car, I love my wife. Well, hopefully you don't mean they're all equal when you say like that. You know, I love my wife just like I love my car. Well, that's not necessarily good. But we know what we mean, right? But then there's all kinds of twisted things people think. They call love something that isn't love at all. Love means you want the best for the other person. Some people say, well, I love you. I love this person. What they mean is, I love the way you make me feel. They don't mean they love that person. They mean, I love you, basically because you make me feel good, so therefore I love you. But you stop making me feel good, I don't love you anymore. That's not love. Do you think you were making God feel good before you were born again and you were complete off in your ways? But the Bible says he loved us when we were yet sinners. We weren't doing anything to help him. We were probably doing things to hurt the kingdom of God. If we weren't for him, you're against him, you're not helping anything, yet God still loved, right? So love is paramount in the kingdom of God, and real love, God love, you can only truly love people when you have the love of God in your heart. You can do some things that look like love, but love is motivation. And some people have put works in. We talked about this some last week. They get confused on works. Things can look like love, but really they're doing it so that they think they're buying something with God. So really, it looks like I'm helping you, but really, I'm helping me in my mind. Because, you know, if I think that if I help you, God loves me more or something than if I help you. I'm helping you maybe, but really I'm helping me. So that's not love. Jesus didn't die for you, for him. He didn't need to be saved. He died for you, when you didn't deserve it, and for me, right? So he does not do it based on what we can give him. And so true love, God love, you can't generate it. A human cannot do it. You have to have the love of God poured out in your heart, like Romans 5:5 says. And so we've talked about some of these things. Look on your sheet there. We're going to review a little bit of what we talked about last week. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, "And may the Lord make you increased and abound in love to one another and to all." May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In the New Living Translation, verse 12 says, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow." Grow and overflow. Can your love grow? Yes, it can. And just overflow. See, that's what's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to, people got it backwards. They say, "Oh, I'm going to love you if it kills me. I'm going to love you." That's not the way it ought to be. And I'm not saying love is a decision. But really, in its best form, if the love of God is poured out in your heart and you know what God has done for you and you know you're established in him, it just gets to where it's just going to come out. I don't have to try to love you. It's just, it's in my very core. I'm just so happy with what God has done for me and my relationship with me that it's just going to overflow. You know, I'm not working it up. It's just overflowing to you. It just over, and you're overflowing to other people. That's the way it ought to be with Christians. And we talked about that. Philippians 1:9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Philippians 1:9 in the New Living Translation there on your sheet says, "I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding." That you just keep, you just, your love just grows. In other words, 10 years from now, we ought to be more developed in love than we are right now. A year from now, we ought to be more developed. We ought to love more a year from now than we do now. It just keeps going. We just keep growing in it until we get to the end of this life and we just walk right over into the other realm, into heaven. And if Jesus doesn't come back, you know, you get to the end of your life, you ought to just fall asleep, leave a good testimony with your family, and go on. But you've grown. At that point, you ought to be further in love than you are right now. That's the way it ought to be. God's plan is not for us to take dips. You know, like the stock market goes up and then goes down. It may kind of go up, but it goes down. And I'm not saying you're not going to be just a perfect straight line up, but you're not just to go up and then just crash and be like, "Well, I'm just away from God." It ought not be like that. That's not his perfect will for us. His perfect will is for us just to keep getting stronger and better. His will for your relationship with your spouse or your siblings or your children is that it would just keep getting stronger and better. Did you know that? We're just supposed to get better and better. We're supposed to grow more and more in love as we go on. So we spent some time talking about that. Look at, we talked about this too, John 13:34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Is that a tall order? Yes. We're supposed to love each other like Jesus loved us. Now, you cannot do that in and of yourself. You have to have the love of God. Jesus gives you His very love through His Spirit in your heart, in your spirit. And like we've talked about, the Holy Spirit is poured out in our spirit to help us to walk in love. That's the only way you can possibly do it. You cannot do it just through your natural man. Your natural man will not do this. You have to yield to the love of God within you. And then notice verse 35, he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." What? If you have love for one another. Now we talked about this some, the scriptures aren't on your sheet, but you can go over, listen to last week's sermon, but and I encourage you to do that, but 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, chapter 13, it talks about how love is paramount. In fact, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 real quick, and then we'll get into this. First Corinthians 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. We just read then on your sheet there, John 13, 35. It says, "By this all will know my disciples if you have love for one another." Notice it did not say, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples if they see signs and wonders. Now, the Bible also says that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word, and they are a sign to people. I'm not negating that, and I fully believe in them. What I'm saying is we can't get it out of whack, and some people have, and they seek signs and wonders in the spectacular. Notice I didn't say supernatural, because walking in the love of God is supernatural. But people are looking for spectacular things a lot of times. And if you start getting it, the cart before the horse, start looking at spectacular, miraculous things and not put love where it ought to be, you're out of whack. And that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 13 is saying. Let's look at it. 13 verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love..." Notice, he says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels." So he's not knocking it. But he says, "And I have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbals." In other words, I'm just noise. If I'm doing something but I'm not doing it out of love, there's something about it that becomes grating. Now you guys know this as well as I do. Have you ever seen, well, you don't have to just, even if you don't have children, just think back to when you were a child and you were with your brothers and sisters or you had friends that were close. Was there ever a time when one of you or somebody, your siblings or one of your children, did something that was the right thing but was completely the wrong heart? And they were doing it right, but you could tell they were completely not in it, and they were actually doing the right thing, but it was almost like they were doing it to irritate somebody. Like, have you ever seen this? One of the kids was acting up, so one of the other kids starts acting super nice to be like, "Well, you're an idiot. I'm doing it right." Have you ever seen this? So-and-so is acting bad, but look at me. I'm acting well. What does that make you say, "Oh, you're just doing a great job"? No, it's like, at this point, even though they're doing the right thing, it's not done with a motive of love. It's actually done with the opposite motive, and it's, you might as well not do it. It's worse than doing nothing. You may do the right thing, but it's the wrong thing because it's done with the wrong motive. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men, tongues of men and of angels," and he says that's, he's not saying that's bad. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and tongues of angels," and Paul does say in another place, all you have to do is get to 1 Corinthians 14, he does say, "I speak with tongues more than you all." So he's not knocking it. And yes, Paul was a tongue talker. He says that, and look at it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. It's on the same page in my Bible, might be on the next page in your Bible. you have one of my Bible like mine, it's page 1011. It says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Right? Hallelujah. Go back over to chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He said, if I do the right thing with the wrong motive, I'm noisy. And then look at verse 2. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's a strong statement. He said that though I have faith that I could move mountains, he's not saying that's wrong. The Bible talks about moving the mountain with your faith and with your words. But he said, if I do that, but I'm not doing it motivated by love, he didn't just say it's neutral. He said, I'm nothing. See, love is paramount. And that's what I'm focusing on today. We're going into, we talked about this some last week. But love, walking in love, is above all. It's not secondary. And we got to be careful what we put first in our relationship as we grow with God. We have to know that actually walking in love with our fellow Christians, number one, and then towards other men, but primarily towards other Christians especially because they're in the family, that is paramount. There is nothing more important than that. In other words, if I'm doing things that some people consider spiritual, but I'm not doing it in love, or I'm not taking into account you and your feelings, I'm missing it. I'm now doing the wrong thing. Even the right thing can become the wrong thing if I'm not doing in love. Love trumps all. You guys ever play cards? Cards aren't evil, by the way. Now, you start gambling with it, that's a different thing. But just playing cards are not evil. But you know, you play certain card games and there's a trump. You know, what does that mean? You play one from that suit, it'll be higher than anything else. Love is a trump in the kingdom of God. What you do or don't do has to be determined by love. In other words, if you do something in love, you could even do the wrong thing and it turn out being okay because somebody, have you ever seen this? Somebody did the wrong thing, but you knew their heart was absolutely right. They were doing their best. They did the wrong thing, but you said, no, I knew your heart, right? In one of your children, maybe one of your siblings, they did the wrong thing, but man, they did it with all their strength. Their heart was to please you. They just messed up. And doesn't that change everything? Won't people get cut slack even in the world because of that? Oh, I knew what you meant. Hey, man, that's not the way we want to do it. Just do better next time. I knew what you were trying to do. On the other hand, you could be toeing the line, doing everything right, but your heart's wrong. And they're saying, see, I didn't break any laws. Yeah, but you're going as close as you could and your heart's wrong. See? Even the natural people can see this. But in the kingdom of God, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Verse 3, it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, let me ask you, if you sold everything you had, you sold your house, you sold your cars, you emptied your bank accounts, and you gave it all to feed the poor, some people would say, oh, that's holy, that's righteous. If you did it because you're trying to get something with God and do it because of you, and you didn't do it motivated by love and by the good of the other people, that's not right. That's what he's saying here. We'll get to that. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. If you're a martyr, I mean, this is really, really strong. If you lay down your life to be burned for somebody, he said, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That's a really strong statement. He's not saying, okay, 80% grade. You were going to get 100, but you didn't do it in love. I'll give you a C. or a B plus, or you know, B minus. He said zero. Can you see how much God esteems love and walking in love, how important it is to him? Can you see how it's easy for the body of Christ to twist things out of focus to where we're focusing on things that aren't as important? People are making, you know, people talk about, people can elevate any area. Well, this is what's really important. You know, certain ways of doing things or programs or whatever, and they lose sight of love. And that's when things, they start to go off track. Let's look on your sheet there. Ephesians 5:2. Now let's do this. Let's go over to 1 Peter 4. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter 4. Love is so important. 1 Peter 4. We'll see this in a few scriptures, the way the word puts it. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. First Peter 4, verse 8. It says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Look at verse 8. "And above all things." So how many things? All. "Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Love will cover a multitude of sins. Look on your sheet there in the New Living Translation, same verse. It says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for one another, for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." Most important of all. Most important of all. Most important of all. You continue to show deep love for one another. And then he says, why? "For love covers a multitude of sins." You know how you keep getting along in your family? You know how you keep getting along in your church family, in your relationship with your spouse? You put love above all. It's the most important thing. The most important thing. Because it covers mistakes. Are we saying you should just let somebody else do whatever? No, but there are a whole lot of things that if we're not walking in love, we'll tend to call out. And if you put love paramount, what you'll say is, you should ask yourself the question, before I call them out on this, is it worth breaking the peace? So many times, we'll think, I have a right to say something. That's wrong, or whatever. I should just say something. But he just said here, love should be the most important of all. So, if I'm determining whether I'm going to say something or not, or how I'm going to behave, I ought to ask myself the question, is this more important than love? Am I actually walking in love by bringing this up or acting this way? Because love in the household, in relationships, in the church, is more important than all. It is the New Testament commandment. It is the royal law. It is the law of love. It's not secondary. And if we'll just put things through this litmus test, That would take care of things, a lot of things, and a lot of problems right there. Because it's so easy to get in pride. It's so easy to start making something that we think is important with somebody. Well, you better get this fixed now. You need to get this change or else. Or else what? And why? Because I don't like it. Okay. Now, we haven't read 1 Corinthians 13:4 for a little bit. We may get into it, I don't think, today. But some of those attributes of love is that it's not touchy. It's not fretful. It doesn't put its own way in front of others. So if I'm saying, you better shape up or else, what am I saying? So am I putting love more important than you, than my needs, or have I got it the other way around? Let me ask you a question. What if Jesus would have done that to you and me? Where would we be now? You better shape up, or I'm not doing anything for you. Okay, end of game, we're done. Right? But he didn't do that. He said, in spite that you're not worth it, in spite of the fact that, you know, this is before we were even born, he could see ahead and say, if he were just looking at a completely natural point of view and just going by feelings, maybe Jesus didn't feel like sweating drops of blood and, you know, getting crown of thorns put in his head and get beat till his flesh was ripping off his, you know, bones and then being crucified with just undescribable pain. Maybe he didn't feel like doing that for somebody that didn't care about him at all. So if he would have gone by feelings, he would have said, you know what, you're not really worth it. Get your act together, maybe I'll think about it. But until then, game over. See, that wouldn't be love. God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We did not deserve it. And that is love. When you do something unconditionally for somebody, and you do something for them, even when it your natural flesh is grated, and you want to say, man, I don't want to do that for you. This, I just want to tell you how I feel about this, and yet you don't, and yet you put your flesh down, and you put on a smile. And I'm not talking about putting up with things that are extreme that you shouldn't be, but I'm talking about so many of the things that we want to make just extreme, they're flat out not. They're just not. We blow it up, and we start making the littlest things huge. And that isn't it true? How many arguments, no, don't raise your hand, but if you're honest with yourself, how many arguments you've had over truly, truly, you know, big deal things versus how many arguments you've had because somebody just said something a little wrong and it was on. All right, we're going to have this argument out now. You have irritated me and you've talked that way the last time. You've left your clothes on the floor for the last time. And we're going to talk about it right now. I can't believe you, you know, left the toilet seat up or whatever. You didn't close the refrigerator. It's not, you know, you had an affair on me. It's like, no, you did something, and I'm going to let you know how much that irritated me. And then we get real self-righteous as if we've never done anything, and like, you need to fix this now, or else I just can't go on, because after all, nobody should have to go through this kind of pain. Huh? This is beyond measure. And if we were to compare ourselves, you know, there's certain people in history that have gone through some real things, that if they were to see what we're going through and complaining, I'm not making light of what we're going through. I'm just saying we could think of a certain, some few situations that people have lived through, literally hell on earth, and come through. And then if they looked at you and heard you, you wouldn't even probably want to be in the same room with them because you'd be so ashamed. If you said you went through, okay, I'll walk away right now. What I was saying was not even worth bringing up compared to somebody being like tortured or, you know, for years and just barely staying alive and yet going through it, and then, but I have to live with this person, and I'm basically equating it to torture. because they won't do the thing that I want them to do. Now, that's when we get flesh-dominated. That's when we don't listen. We don't put love as the most important thing. It makes it real easy to put other things more important. It makes it real easy to start saying, forget it, I don't care, I'm going to have my way. And just know, when we do that, and I said we're taking a step out of love in the wrong direction. We're not yielding to our heart, and we're not letting love be the most important. We're letting peace go in our homes, basically because we want our way to happen right now. But the good news is, and like we've talked about, we have the love of God poured out in our heart, in the Holy Spirit, to help us to do exactly what we're talking about here. This is not some lofty thing that only the elite Christian can do. This is written to all of us, and what God tells us to do through His Word, He gives us the ability to do. And we have the love of God in. If we're a Christian, you're already qualified. Now, if you're not, you need to get born again. That's another thing. But if you are a Christian, you have the love of God in you, and you have the ability to do this. It is a matter of yielding to your heart and not your flesh. It's a matter of yielding. You make it a priority in your house. And I encourage you to do this, you know, as a couple, as a family, that you say, we are going to walk in love. And that is number one. In other words, there are going to be times when I want to say something, but I'm not going to, because that would be getting out of love. There are things when you want to say something, back to what I've said, but you're going to overlook it because you want to walk in love. And if everybody is doing that in a home, you think about all the times somebody said something out of turn, and they shouldn't have said it. It was a needle. It was, you know, one of the kids or one of one of the spouses or whatever said something, knowing full well and expecting a reaction. You know what I'm talking about. Just a little dig. Now, what if the other people and the recipient of the dig, or the intended recipient of the dig, decided, I'm not going to react. I'm going to let that go. What would happen? You just avoided a run in there. Now, you think if both parties are doing the same thing, for now, the initial dig, there's a temptation to say it, but it's not said. Now, there's not even a reaction to happen. But then let's say there's another. The other person does something else, doesn't pick something else up or whatever, and somebody could make a big deal about it, but chooses just to go behind him and pick it up and not make any big deal about it. How much harmony could you have in a household if you started living like that? How many interactions? It's exponential, depending on how many kids or how many people you have in a household. How many interactions? If everybody is starting to behave like that, all of a sudden, exponentially, the number of incidents just goes down dramatically. Because if I'm not going to look at you, and you're not going to look at me, and I'm not going to look at you, and you're not going to react to me, and it just goes like that, pretty soon, it just goes towards peace. Is that impossible? No. It's actually, see, the world, if you watch TV now, and people don't even watch TV really as much as they just download stuff and stream it, but you watch anything almost, it is you do not see this. If you read books, I have children in schools, the books that they are required to read in some cases, they do not show harmony. Most of them, they show things that are dysfunction and that are considered normal now. Everything, there's a problem everywhere. There's not, and you know as well as I do in just normal what's accepted in the media and in culture, that if you talk about a home that actually gets along, you're in la-la land and are not dealing with reality. Is that not true? People say that doesn't exist. I'm telling you right now, that's a lie. See, the more that's propagated, then what happens? If you don't think something's possible, and everybody, all you see is everybody always just nipping at each other and making sarcastic comments and, oh, yeah, there's no way you could actually have this idyllic home. That just doesn't exist. And everybody hears that from the time they're little, and all the families see it, and just, that doesn't exist. What happens? It just starts, blowing apart. It doesn't exist. Why? Because that can't happen. We can't do it. So then if somebody gets under your skin, you don't think that I shouldn't control anything because it's just normal just to snap back because that's what I see everywhere, right? That's the way you behave. You say something, all right, I'm going to say something way wittier, and then you're going to come back with a wittier comment. We're just going to have it back and forth because that's what they do when I watch stuff on TV, right? That's all a lie. This is the truth. The Bible's the truth. The Bible says we can do this. Having a home that gets along and walks in love is supposed to be the norm for a Christian. That is not some super elite thing and like, well, nobody can really do that. No, we can all do it. If we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us and we yield to it, we can have a home that is heaven on earth. I'm not saying you're going to walk it perfectly all the time. Yes, we all have flesh. We're going to miss it sometimes, not that we intend to. I'm not saying perfection, but I'm saying we can yield to it. That should be our goal. Don't buy the lie that it just can't be done. Well, we just can't have that kind of relationship. We just can't have that kind of marriage. We just can't have that with our children. That's not true. Otherwise, God would be unjust to tell us to do this and then not give us the means to do it. He didn't say for you super elite Christians here, this is the most important thing of all. I have to get to tier, 18. But for the rest of us, yeah, you just go and muddle around down here. Maybe you'll get there. But he didn't say that. Did he? No, what did he say? He said, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. He's just talking to the church. Love will cover a multitude of sins. That means, yeah, you're dealing with imperfect people, but you walk in love, it will cover that over. And you can actually walk in love. Let's read one more at least here. Go down to Colossians 3. It's probably on the other side of your sheet. Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, notice this, therefore as the elect of God, you know what that means? That means a Christian. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Wow, we're in deep. Should we read that again? This is to the elect of God. This is to Christians, okay? This is what he's saying. Not to the super elite force. He's saying, therefore, as the elect of God. As the elect of God. As, in other words, this is, because you're you, this is what's expected of you. As a Christian, this is what you ought to do. He said, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies. Mercies. What's mercy? Mercy's not getting what you deserve. What if we saw a little bit more mercy in our household? Where person, yeah, they said the wrong thing, they deserve it, but you don't give it to them. How would that grease the skids a little bit? Said, well, you got it coming now, pal, and I'm going to give it to you. Here you go. Put on tender mercies, kindness. Kindness, humility. Again, you said just even reading this. This seems like everybody like, well, I know that's how we're supposed to be, and boy, this is just heaping it on. No, that's the wrong mentality. That's the world's mentality. Like, oh, we're talking about what we should do, and boy, we know that's unattainable. I want to talk about, and I want to see, you know, more of realistic. Realistic means giving into the flesh more. That's what it means. Well, I don't want to see ideal family. I want to see a realistic family. Read, you know, one that gives into the flesh a lot, one that's dysfunctional because that's more like what I'm used to. Well, it may be, but that's not supposed to be normal for a child of God. Amen. It's a lie. You look at, I wasn't alive for the whole last century, but you look at what's happened and the bill of goods that has been sold. Look at the 1900s, how you progressed, and the morals, how they changed. But what do you got put before everybody all the time? The books that were put out, and then the radio, and then the music, and the movies, and then the song. Where are they moving? They're moving over here. They're moving to where it looks like this is the norm. This is how you're supposed to act, and so people start reflecting it. So people are just like, well, that goody-goody two-shoe stuff, that's just not real. That's a lie. It's been embedded in our society that we have bought this lie that we can't really get along. People just accept the fact that people get divorced left and right, and that's just normal. That's the way, you know, people just get tired of each other. That's just normal. In fact, you'll hear people say marriage is just an archaic institution. That's just nonsense. That's an outdated idea. No, it's not. It's from God. God does not have any outdated ideas. That's the best way. He said, humility, meekness, long-suffering. What does that mean? When you put up with somebody, even though they're grating on you, long-suffering, and it brings the connotation of with people. It's patience only with people. Long-suffering. I mean, that somebody may be trying your patience, and you still smile at them and say, what can I do for you? Long-suffering. Now, verse 13. Bearing with one another. What if we were bearing with one another more? Instead of, man, you just don't cut the mustard. I am done with you. Instead of bearing with somebody and saying, I'm with you. You're not saying, but you're thinking, you know, you're trying my patience, but I signed up to be with you, and I'm with you. I'm going to bear with you. I'm going to bear with you. I'm not giving up on you. What if we had more of that? What if in a family we all just didn't give up on one another? All of us were looking at each other and we were for each other. How much further would that go? Instead of looking for an excuse to tear you down, I was saying, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I know it's been 384 times since yesterday, but you're going to get it. Bearing with one another and what? Forgiving one another. Man, we're in deep here. And forgiving one another. Hallelujah. We could preach on every one of these. If anyone has a complaint against each other, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you also should do if you feel like it and it's a good day. Nope. You also must do. But verse 14, where I wanted to get to, but above all these things, these are some traits of love, but he says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or maturity. Above all this, put on love, which is the mark of maturity. In other words, if you're going to be the mature one in the household is the one who walks in love. Verse, look at that in the NIV. He says, and over all these virtues, put on love. Over all these virtues, put on love. Put it on. Did you ever put on something, put on a jacket that you didn't own? That just, you didn't have it in your house? No, you put on something that you have. Right? You have, we have love, and we just need to put it on and determine we're going to do it. And the Word says, above all this stuff, decide that you're going to do this. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. God is good. God is good. I tell you what, this is something to shout about. You may not feel like, you may feel like, man, that doesn't seem like shouting. Look at what we're talking about. If we were all, the more we walk in what we already have on the inside that's been poured out in our hearts, the more we decide, I'm going to put that on. You know what? You can decide, I'm going to put that on today. I see some things. I'm going to put it on today. This week, I'm putting this on. Some things are changing now. I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I see what I'm supposed. I see what the Word of God. Did we not pray at the beginning that God would show us what to do and that we would be doers of what He told us, right? Well, here we go. I don't care how long we've walked with the Lord, we can come up. This week, we can come up. We can say, all right, Lord, I have not been putting this where I ought to. I've maybe focused on this, other things, or things I've considered spiritual, but Lord, I see it in Your Word. You know, you could say, look, Lord, I have been putting other things above love. I've put my desire sometimes, or my comfort, or what I sensed or I thought was spiritual above walking in love. And Lord, I see that this is paramount with You. And Lord, You didn't tell me to do something that I couldn't do. This is number one. And Lord, so I'm gonna change. With Your help, I'm going to tweak some stuff. Lord, I choose to put this above all. I choose to put love above all. I choose to walk in love. For my part, the Bible says in one place, as much as it depends on me, I will walk in peace with all men. As much as it depends on me in any relationship, I'm going to make the tweaks necessary to walk in love.